Welcome to Digging Deep with Evangelist Paul Acqua of Christ Is All Ministries. Every day, believers face choices that shape their spiritual lives. The relationships we build and those partnerships we enter can either strengthen our faith or draw us away from God's purpose. The Bible addresses this tension directly with a clear and powerful instruction. Do not be yoked together with unbelievers. This command is not a call to avoid unbelievers or withdraw from society. Christians are called to be salt and light, sharing God's truth and love with a world that needs Christ. At the same time, believers must exercise wisdom and spiritual discernment. So, how can we engage with the world without becoming controlled by its values? In today's message, titled Unequally Yoked, evangelist Paul Acqua explores what it truly means to live with wisdom, discernment, and unwavering faith. Let's join in.
The scripture says in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14, that do not be yoked together with unbelievers, for what do righteousness and wickedness have in common? That's the question. Or what fellowship can light have with darkness? That's the NIV. The NKJV says it this way. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. And the key term here is unequally yoked with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? Hallelujah. So you see, God is telling us not to be bound to unbelievers because of their influence on our lives. That's what the scripture is saying. We must not participate in other people's sins. That's what the implication is, as it can be clearly seen in this text of scripture. But at the same time, listen carefully, the Lord doesn't want us to retreat to a life where we keep our Christianity private. That's not the case. It is not God's will for his people to live in isolation, because we are in the world, but we are not of the world. And that certainly was not the example of Jesus or any of his followers. That wasn't his practice. He did not isolate himself, but we just have to be careful how we go about things in this world. So living in isolation was not the practice of Jesus Christ or any of his followers. We are the salt and light of the world. That's what the Bible says. And to release our life-preserving effect, to release our light, and for us to shine, we have to get out of our comfort zone. So did God say we should not love the lost? No. Did he tell us to treat them unkindly? Not at all. You see, in Jesus' time, the Pharisees and religious leaders in the Bible, they often made complaint about Jesus, accusing him of eating with sinners. They used it as a criticism because in that culture, sharing a meal was a sign of deep friendship or a sign of acceptance and spiritual fellowship. So they were accusing Jesus. Jewish religious laws prevented devout Jews from keeping company with any publican who were not Jews and they were classified as sinners. So to eat with a publican was unthinkable. This was why the people reacted. You remember the Bible story where Jesus met Zacchaeus and said, "Today I will be at your house." When Jesus went to eat at Zacchaeus' house, he was accused bitterly. However, Jesus did not eat at Zacchaeus' house to participate in his sin, but to extend mercy and forgiveness to him. So by eating with tax collectors and sinners, Jesus was actively welcoming the outcast and showing them grace instead of judgment. Jesus said, "I came to seek and to save sinners." You see, Jesus said, "Learn from me." And so he is our example. So coming back to our lives, not to be unequally yoked with unbelievers, we are the salt of the earth. And to do any good, we have to get out and impact the world. But then we got to be cautious. If we can be in control and minister the love of God, then we are right to associate with sinners. But when we are being controlled by the ungodliness of sinners, when we are being controlled by their actions, then we need to take control or withdraw. That's the option. So, for example, there's a good example in the Bible. Paul went into the Jewish synagogues to share the gospel. If you read the book of Acts, you will see that was his practice, because they allowed anyone to speak up and comment on the scriptures whenever you went into the synagogue. But when the leaders of the synagogue hardened themselves against the gospel and directly contradicted Paul's preaching, he separated the disciples from the doubters and unbelievers, even though he was there preaching the gospel and teaching them. The Bible says that in the book of Acts chapter 19, verses 8 and 9, says this, "And he went into the synagogue and spoke boldly for 3 months, reasoning and persuading concerning the things of the kingdom of God. But when some were hardened and did not believe, but spoke evil of the way before the multitude, he departed from them and withdrew the disciples." Did you hear that? "Reasoning daily in the school of Tyrannus." You see, that's where the Bible school of Tyrannus started. "And this continued for 2 years, so that all who dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks." Hallelujah. So Paul was wise. He was first associating with them, trying to preach the gospel to them. But when they hardened their heart and they started misinterpreting him, when they became very hardened and against him, he withdrew. Therefore, we must have dealings with the world system and those in it. Yes, we have. But we need to be careful to maintain the proper balance. Very important. We should shun relationships where we are being more influenced by others' negative than they are by our positives. You see, the Bible says we must be careful how we live. If the enemy gains a foothold in our lives by tempting us to compromise our faith, he will make significant strides towards undermining our relationship with the Lord and our testimony for him. Before we know, we will be dragged down into their behavior, their character, their attitude. So Paul withdrew the people, separated himself, and then just went somewhere else. And that's what we got to do. We have to be careful. We are light, but if these people want to influence us rather than we influencing them, we got to withdraw, my friend. So you see, the word of God is saying that it is an abnormal situation to yoke a believer who has the Spirit of God within to an unbeliever who is motivated by the spirit of the world, where they follow the world system. It's like trying to mix water with oil. It cannot be done, I'm telling you. For what do righteousness and wickedness have in common? That's the question that this text of scripture is posing to you and me. Or what fellowship can light have with darkness, you see? So the text of scripture makes it clear by the comparisons that being yoked together with unbelievers just would not work. It will not work, my friend. Believers and unbelievers have nothing in common and are different as righteousness and wickedness. They are different as light and darkness. They are different as Christ and the devil. Someone who had faith and someone who has no faith, we are different. The temple of God and an idol, they are different. Any Christian who doesn't see this conflict is deceived. Do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. That's what the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33. 1 Corinthians 15, 33 says, "Do not be misled." I'm speaking to somebody here. Bad company corrupts good character or corrupts good manners. You see? So here we can apply this to marriage. Marriage is one area where this principle is especially true. There is no closer union in life than the marriage fellowship, I'm telling you, or by the marriage relationship. Yes, 2 Corinthians 6:14 has application far beyond marriage, but practically, I can use this. It certainly includes marriage. It says that You shouldn't be marrying people who aren't believers. No, don't. You shouldn't be marrying a person just because you like certain interests in them, just because that person is beautiful or handsome. No, did you know beauty is temporary? It's going to change, and this is why so many marriages fall apart. Because it's based on the physical attributes. It's based on the physical attraction. It's based on things that you have in common or whatever. First of all, it ought to be your love and commitment to God. That's what you got to look at first before even you go or enter into marriage. That should be the most important thing to you. And if that person doesn't share that, then don't marry that person. You shouldn't ever entertain marrying any person who doesn't share your core beliefs and values about God. And yet, there are so many people who just choose to acknowledge God. Maybe in certain areas, but when it comes to marriage, you are going to do it your own way. That's not right, you see? How is that working for you, my friend? That's the reason so many people have so many problems. That's the reason divorce rate is nearly as high in the church as it is in the secular world, because people are not following God's system. Trust the Lord. That's what the Bible says. Trust the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your path. Many Christians know this scripture off by heart. You see, we are supposed to acknowledge God in all our ways, and He will direct our paths. You don't acknowledge Him in certain areas, but when it comes to marriage, you say, no, I have to go my own way. You need to understand that marriage is going to be one of the most important decisions that you will ever make. And if you marry the wrong person, it could lead to divorce. It could lead to adultery. It could lead to all kinds of things that just literally will destroy whatever God's plans for you are. I'm telling you, He said, do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. So we need to enter into marriage with fear and trembling, saying, God, I need to have your mind. And God supernaturally will put you together with your spouse, the one He has actually planned for you before even you came into existence. There might be physical attraction, yes, but that must not be the dominant thing. That must not be your priority. God will supernaturally put you together. And because of that, God will direct your path, and you can be married for life. And as you advance in years, the marriage even gets better and better than it's ever been, because God put you together. And yet, there are people listening to me right now that don't acknowledge God in that realm. They don't acknowledge God in that area. You see, you feel like that's up to you. Just pick and choose. You know, pick and choose who you want. No, you pick and choose your own career. You pick and choose how you go places, how you go holidays, where you buy house, where you travel to. You pick and choose anything you want to do. You don't seek God in all your ways. Well, this is a powerful truth from God, that your own understanding is like a broken reed. And if you lean upon it, you will fall. You will fail. You will be in defeat. God has promised He shall direct your path so that your way shall be safe and best and great at last. Hallelujah. So you see, do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. It's not going to work for you. Where your influence far outweighs they trying to influence you, then yes, you can just show God's love and mercy to them. But where they are rejecting, they are hardening their hearts and not taking in God's word and trying to influence you to conform to their system of thinking, to conform to their attitude, to conform to their behavior, then my friend, you got to withdraw. And marriage is one of those things that many people are making mistake. They are making mistake about that. That shouldn't be the case, my friend. Holy Spirit can help you. He said, trust Him with your heart Acknowledge him in everything you are doing, and God promises to direct you. And when God directs you, nothing can stop you. Nothing can defeat you, because Almighty God is before you. Hallelujah. So as a believer, acknowledge God. Every area in your finances, in choosing who to marry, in searching for your job, how you bring up your children, and so on and so forth. We got to acknowledge him and not be yoked with unbelievers. But if you have not received Christ as your Lord and personal Savior, then this is not even applicable to you. It will be meaningless to you, because the Bible says that the gospel is foolishness to those who are perishing. Today, you can come out of perish area and be with God, who will save you, who will direct you, who will give you the best life that he planned for you. And if you will, you may pray this prayer after me, saying every word from your heart. Say, "Dear Lord, I recognize that I am a sinner and need to be saved. I understand that Jesus died in my place and suffered all the judgment of my sins. I believe that Jesus rose from the dead, and he is at the right hand of the Father. Lord Jesus, I surrender my life to you. Come and live in my heart and be my Lord and Savior. Thank you for saving me. Amen."
Thank you for joining us today on Digging Deep with Evangelist Paul Acqua. If you enjoyed today's message, be sure to tell a friend. Also, make sure you never miss an episode. If you have any prayer request, you can contact us at +44 787 945 6907. You can also visit www.ciamint.com for more resources to help you dig deeper into your Christian life. Christ is All Ministries, sharing Christ, changing lives.